RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with me, Beans, because my good friend Frank is sadly very much under the weather. You guys are probably listening to this podcast a little bit late today. I was waiting, kind of hanging out for the Project Veritas stuff to drop so we'd be able to talk about that today. There is a whole bunch on the plate. I have been away at the American Priority Conference, and there was quite a stir this morning about the conference. I am going to talk to you about all of the things that happened while I was there, as well as the FISAgate stuff coming out, and hopefully I can fill an hour with myself blathering on. You never know. I had an absolutely fantastic time at the conference. All the attendees had a really great time there too. It was really an honor and a privilege to be there in the capacity that I was. And I really just want to say, one of the best things about this conference was getting to meet everyone. And you know, it's always nice to meet people in person that you see on Twitter and you talk to and stuff like that. But I am so taken aback and so ridiculously humbled and blessed. So many people came up to me thanking me, and I was speechless. I cried a few times. It was really quite amazing. I met some really just fabulous, fabulous American patriots. Giving a shout out to Janice and Lydia. I met the beautiful, talented, and brilliant, and just Anna Timmer was there. She's famous right now for the video she did confronting Justin Amash at his town hall a few months ago, and her husband was fabulous too. I got to meet Brian Cates in person. He is just the biggest teddy bear. I love him to death. He was so sweet, so awesome to talk to. Just a really, really, really nice guy. Meeting someone in person after reading their tweets is a little bit different. And I'm really blessed that I was able to meet Brian. There is a whole bunch of people. I don't want to leave anyone out. But I can't get over how just fabulous everybody is. I mean, there is no way on God's green earth we're losing with this crowd. It was uplifting. It was uplifting and loving and peaceful and pro-America and pro-free speech. And it was just a whirlwind of a week. I probably would say I interviewed close to 30 people. Huge shout out to my camera guy, Sean Daniels. He was amazing following me around. Lisa and Sergio, who did the photography. You'll start to see clips and stuff coming out. And I was able to interview Corey Lewandowski one-on-one, which was really great. And then I did the Spygate panel. And the Spygate panel was just, I couldn't even believe it. As I'm standing in the green room and I'm getting my photo taken next to Tom Fitton, Ned Ryan, George Papadopoulos, and Corey Lewandowski. And then, you know, you walk out on stage to this big room packed with people. And I was standing up there and I'm just like, wow, this is America. I mean, this is just, it was just amazing. I introduced the guys. We sat down. As a moderator, it is not your goal to be the focus of attention. I did something a little interesting. I don't know that was caught on video. There's no official video out yet from the conference on this panel. But Anna she'll laugh. Anna will, I retweeted her tweet. She did she did the whole thing. She live streamed it with Periscope. So it's just, you know, an independent person's video. So there's, you know, quality. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the best either. But it was her phone, so give the girl a break. And I watched some of it back, and I moderating a panel is really interesting because you've got four powerhouses sitting up there with you, right? You got to spread the time evenly. You got to make sure you keep everybody on task and on topic and ask the right questions to provoke the right responses. And so I'm a woman of few words when it comes to having people like that up there with me, but I was able to ask some different questions about how all of this Spygate scandal melds together. And I think we're learning more and more every day that obviously this is not a United States scandal. It's a global scandal. And I'm going to play some clips in a few minutes from Maria Bartiromo's show with Doug Collins that I watched yesterday while I was at the airport. And I sitting up there with that panel, I was kind of dizzy in the middle of it. I kind of got like a little bit like not awestruck, but like a little bit overwhelmed with the gravity of what I was actually doing up there. I just want to thank Alex and Katya and Tom for giving me this independent journalist the opportunity to sit down and talk to the likes of those folks on a stage in a venue like that. It really was an honor. One of the highlights of things that I've done so far. And to everybody that thanked, that, you know, complimented me and everything, it was really, those guys up there, I mean, you couldn't, it was great. I just thank you so much. Means a lot to me. Panel was fantastic. There's no words to explain what, I mean, there were, the Imam of Peace was there. Corey Lewandowski was there. Laura Luma was there. Jack Posobiec was there. You know, Andy Ngo was there. I got to talk to Andy Ngo for an interview. Ryan Fournier was there. Don Trump Jr. was there. Sarah Sanders was there. Matt Gaetz was there. All kinds of, I mean, I'm leaving gazillions of people out, but I'm telling you, it was such a disappointment to see what happened this morning. So let me just kind of frame this up for everyone so they understand the setting here and can understand how stupid, the outrage over this is, given how many people actually saw this video. If you don't know, this morning there was an article put out by Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, where apparently they had some sort of a mole inside of the conference. And it was the whole building of the President Donald Trump Donald J. Trump ballroom. And there were breakout sessions all the way on the left side. And then all the way in the corner, in a very low trafficked location in this room, was like a meme exhibit where there were all kinds of videos being played and memes being played and just stuff like that. And apparently there was this one video that was done about a year ago that was included here. And it was about the Kingsman movie, where there's apparently some violence and there were shooting. There was a fake news, like logos over the people in the movie that got shot's head. And it was President Trump doing the shooting. So people got really, you know, nobody really knew. I didn't even know that room existed until right before I left. And nobody that was there at the conference even really meandered in there, except this one guy who caught this clip being shown. And Alex and all the guys at the conference do not condone political violence. Nobody condones political violence. They actually had an entire panel dedicated to preventing political violence. They had a religious freedom panel. It was the antithesis of what the conference was about. Regardless of what I feel about this video, to make it the focus of this and breaking widespread news tells me personally that there was literally nothing else they could find about this conference to talk about, because it was really amazing. Now, I've heard from several attendees who said they had no idea that that was even going on. It was not played on the main stage. It was not played in any breakout room. This was legitimately something off to the side where this video was included, and they didn't approve of it being included, and it was just an unfortunate mishap from what it seems. So, listen, take it for what it's worth. It's the New York Times. Nobody on the right condones political violence. I do find it interesting, though, that they will not come out and condemn actual violence. We had Andy Ngo there, for God's sakes. Actual violence that's happening to actual reporters on the right, or even people that go to Trump rallies, what happened in Minnesota, Antifa, none of it. None of it's condemned. They don't care. They champion these folks. But a video meme. Oh, Lord, what the heck kind of a world are we living in? So that's that. Otherwise, a couple funny stories from the conference. I posted this on Twitter yesterday. So I was working really hard the whole week. And, you know, if you're a woman, you're walking around in heels, your feet are killing you. Like, I couldn't wear my heels. I wore them. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I have like cuts all over my little tootsies. And my little pewies are all cut up. And so I had to take off my shoes and wear my flops. I wore my flops. And I'm not a big lady. I'm about 5'3" on a good day. And so I'm interviewing all these people. And by the end of Friday, I'm like, my God, I can't even keep my head up straight. It's killing me. My head was killing me. So I'm massaging my back and I'm trying to, like, you know, get some ice on it and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go lay down because this is just too much. So I ended up calling it a night really early on Friday at like 8:30 or so. I was in bed. If you can hear my voice is hoarse too. And then Saturday I was talking to Sean, the camera guy, and I said to him, I don't understand. And he goes, you know, I figured out what it is. You were staring up at people in every interview. So like every interview, my head is all the way back and I'm staring up at the folks that I'm talking to. So what that means is that I need to bring myself a stool to carry around. Little short me, and bring a stool around so I can be the right height for the people that I'm talking to. As a little mini compact Tracy Beans. But it was great. It was really good. A lot of fun stuff happened there. And so that the conference was really good. So let's quickly move over to the CNN insider whistleblower. O'Keefe was also at the American Priority Conference this week. He announced this there as well. This gentleman is, his name, the whistleblower is Carrie Porch. He secretly recorded his colleagues for months. They're going to be uploading clips all day and all night. Porch says, I didn't see any other option. I decided to wear a hidden camera to expose the bias. And there are pictures with him and some of the hosts being released right now. And he and Veritas uploaded a clip a few minutes ago. So people are saying that this clip is a nothing burger. And you know what I'm going to do? Let's just play the clip and listen to it, because that's the best way to go through it. It's about 2 minutes long.
And then all right, everybody. Okay, let's start with Washington, please. I don't care about the MSNBC event, okay? I don't care about them. Let's just stay very focused on impeachment.
My name is Carrie Porch. I'm a satellite uplink technician. I'm a contractor at the CNN Washington, D.C. Bureau.
But Jeff Zucker,
yeah,
basically president of CNN, has a personal vendetta against Trump. It's not going to be positive for Trump. He hates him. He's going to be negative.
I decided to wear a hidden camera. I decided to secretly record the 9 a.m. rundown call meetings, and it's basically run by Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN.
We're moving towards impeachment. I mean, don't, like, you know, we shouldn't pretend, oh, this is going one way, and so all these moves are moves towards
when I came to work at CNN, I mean, it was my dream job, and that dream actually just turned into a nightmare.
So I just want to say, I'm going to Instagram front. I know that there's a lot of people at CNN that are friendly with Lindsey Graham. Time to knock that off, and it's time to call him out.
I think what's going on in America now is really fundamentally the result of years of fake news, conspiracy, nonsense from Fox News.
He was calling Fox News fake news and a propaganda machine. And with what I saw, I'm like, that's pretty much what CNN was. Like, it's just pumping out propaganda.
The fake conspiracy nonsense that Fox has spread for years is now deeply embedded in American society. And frankly, that is beyond destructive to America. And I do not think we should be scared to say so.
I just wanted to own where they're at. Like, hey, if we lean left, cool. Let's just say we lean left. If we lean right, let it be known. But again, it just dovetails back in that thing. I just want people to have the information to make up their own minds.
Now, a lot of people are saying this is a big nothing burger. And I'm going to tell you why I disagree wholeheartedly, okay? We all know that CNN is a left-leaning, biased fake news outlet, right? But CNN presents itself as an unbiased arbiter of the truth. And so the issue is that they present themselves to the general public as news, not opinion. And so when you get CNN on tape, the president of CNN stating in no uncertain terms what their thoughts are. I mean, I have never seen a conspiracy theory on Fox News. And this is the problem. You know, we've talked a lot about Fox News over the past couple days and weeks. And Fox News, you know, has its issues and it's going in a direction that I don't agree with at all. They have their handful of people we've talked about that are good folks, but they don't present fake news conspiracy, especially when it comes to President Trump. And the problem is that Zucker sounds like he actually believes that it's conspiracy. And I have a very, very, very hard time believing that Zucker believes that it's conspiracy. Friday, we're about to have a FISA release. And I'm geared up for this. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, it's just going to be nothing. Maria Bartiromo says that it is the size of a telephone book. We're going to listen to a little bit of that clip right now, and then we're going to discuss the clip and talk about what that's all about. And I'm going to be watching for more O'Keefe videos because I'm sure there's much more than that. But I think that in and of itself is a huge deal because you can't present yourself as a news organization that's giving news and then be a propaganda organization as they clearly are. So whether or not you all knew it or not is irrelevant. It's coming directly from the mouth of the president of CNN. That's a big deal. Let's find this tweet. Here we go. Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. This clip is 8 minutes long. We're obviously not going to play the whole thing, but we're going to get into some facts here.
Welcome back, and we are back with the ranking Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman Georgia, Congressman Doug Collins. Congressman, I want to get your take on the IG report. I have reported last week on Fox Business, I reported that I'm hearing the IG report will be out this upcoming Friday, October 18th, and my sources say it's as thick as a telephone book, more than just FISA abuse. Can you give us any sense of what you're expecting out of this Inspector General report, which is forthcoming?
Well, we're expecting it to show exactly what we've been concerned about for a long time, that there was issues at the Department of Justice, especially dealing with the FISA court. And you know, Maria, how I actually know this? I start looking at the ones that should be the most concerned, because one of the things I didn't mention a few minutes ago is the Democrats wanted nothing to do with any investigation into the real issues of collusion and corruption that was part of the 2016 campaign, which was the Democrat National Committee and Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS and all these parties that came together to try and deny Donald Trump from becoming president. And they never wanted any part of that, and they're not wanting any part now. And you see it when you see Brennan and you see McCabe and you see some of these really ramping up the I'm innocent phase of their life when they go on TV and talk about this is not really happening. But the best one is when Mr. Comey, the one who has the trouble with the truth, who has a Superman syndrome, is out there saying, oh, I wish that this would just go away. But then he reveals himself and he says, all I want to do is get rid of this president. This report is going to show what happened in that time frame. And I believe from what we're seeing from their reaction, it's not going to be very good. My only question is, will the Democrats have an integrity bone in their body to actually Jerry Nadler to call Mr. Horowitz to our committee to have to answer about this report?
Yeah.
No. No, Doug Collins. No, they won't. No, they won't. Listen, there's so much to unpack about the FISA report, a telephone book. This investigation that Horowitz has done has been going on for years. And I just want to clear up again for people because it gets very confusing, right? It gets super confusing. The difference between the power of the IG, the power of the of a John Durham, to kind of distinguish between what the differences are there. So IG Horowitz releases or does an investigation, does not have the power to do anything prosecutorially, does have the power to refer to the DOJ for prosecution. And that likely has been done. And it is my belief, my firm belief, that I think within weeks, if we get this on the 18th, I would say first or second week of November, I would expect to see some indictments. If they're sooner, wonderful. But I'm very confident in that. I really, truly am very confident that we will see indictments of people for this. If this thing is the size of a telephone book, it's going to take a really long time to dissect. It is going to be the government's, from an inspector general perspective, it is going to be the government's story of what happened with the Carter Page FISA warrants and anything else that would have arisen from them. As a matter of fact, hold on one second. So I wanted to pull up the letter real quick, so I put you on pause, but you didn't realize it. It was March 28th, which was 2018. And it says this, DOJ, Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz announced today that in response to requests from the AG and members of Congress, the Office of the Inspector General will initiate a review that will examine the Justice Department and Federal Bureau of Investigation's compliance with legal requirements and with applicable DOJ and FBI policies and procedures in applications filed with the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court relating to a certain U.S. person. As part of this examination, the IG will also review information that was known to the DOJ and the FBI at the time the applications were filed from or about an alleged FBI confidential source, Christopher Steele. Additionally, the OIG will review the DOJ and FBI's relationship and communications with the source as they relate to the FISC applications. If circumstances warrant, the OIG will consider including other issues that may arise during the current course of the review. For comparison, the Hillary Clinton email investigation report was 568 pages long. So I would expect that this report may be longer. And what is it going to do? It is going to spell out in detail the story of how Christopher Steele and the FBI and Rod Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe and James Comey and Baker and possibly Brennan or anyone else involved and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and all of the crew that we've been talking about for years, how they went about to verify, not verify, ask the FISC, etc., about the Carter Page FISA warrant, which enabled them to eavesdrop and spy on the Trump team. Because let's remember now, we identified through the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page text messages that they were forced to use FISA because the 702 database, which is the database being used to surveil U.S. persons, only supposed to be done very selectively, was abused. And just recently, we started to see people talking about again in legacy media the report that was issued in 2018, I believe, in April, that stated that that process was abused. And Judge Rosemary Collier, who is the chief judge of the FISC, I believe, the FISA court, released that opinion. And this all happened, if we remember again, because Mike Rogers, Admiral Mike Rogers, blew the whistle on this abuse. And the abuse was happening via government contractors. So it was government contractors who were abusing the system. And if you remember, several months ago, I believe it was in January, I'm going to find it on Uncover DC right now, there was a summary report released. And the summary report said that there was wrongdoing found by, I'm going to go back now, we have so many articles. Hold on. Bear with me, folks. This was a piece I wrote in January of 2019, and the announcement that was put out by the Department of Justice, OIG, was released on, the summary was released on January 29th, 2019. It was very confusing. I think it would serve us well to just go over this really quickly as we go through the story here. Findings of misconduct by two current senior FBI officials and one retired FBI official while providing oversight on an FBI contract. Now, this is in the midst of the OIG doing his investigation into FISA that this comes out. It says this. The Department of Justice, OIG, initiated this investigation upon the receipt of information from the FBI concerning multiple allegations involving an FBI contractor and three FBI officials. This probably, and I'm saying probably because I can't definitively say so, this probably was found in the midst of interviewing other folks in the FISA probe about what was going on. And it says, the Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General, oh, I said that already. The OIG found that as a result of conduct by two current senior FBI officials and one retired FBI official, the FBI contractor engaged in inherent governmental activities in contravention of the federal acquisition regulations. Additionally, the OIG found that these three FBI officials did not adhere to OMB policy while managing the contractor. Further, the OIG found that the FBI contractor failed to adhere to personal conflict of interest rules under the FAR, Federal Acquisition Regulations. The OIG has completed its investigation and provided its report to the FBI for appropriate action. Now, I broke this down at the time. A couple contrasts to make. Number one, it isn't specified that the DOJ declined to press charges. As we've seen so many damn times, it makes my head want to explode. It was completed and the report was provided, and we do not get the FBI declined to prosecute or the DOJ declined to prosecute, right? And I went through this and I looked up what the federal acquisition regulations were, what an inherent governmental activity were, and how these things could have transpired and what they could be. And I came to a conclusion, and I'm going to share it with you. So what I found and what I thought was so important about this is that it brought together the 702 queries, the malfeasance at the Department of Justice, at the FISA court, etc. And it brought them all together into one sort of picture. So I used a lot of Jeff Carlson's work that he did on the 702 database. Now, it's a little complicated, but as a result of conduct by two senior FBI officials, one retired, the FBI engaged in inherent governmental activities. What is an inherent governmental activity? So I looked all over and I read through, gosh, hundreds of pages to find this, but it says this, and this is where it's at. As per the Office of Management and Budget, in clarifying the federal acquisition regulations, an inherent governmental activity is defined as the direction and control of intelligence and counterintelligence operations. So, I am of the firm belief that this contractor is Fusion GPS, that it is very possible that the contractor who ignored the conflict of interest issues was Nellie Orr, because she was related to Bruce Orr, or married to Bruce Orr. But as Jeff Carlson reported, on April 18th, 2016, Admiral Mike Rogers shut down all outside contractor access to raw FISA information, specifically outside contractors working for the FBI. The discovery that outside contractors were actually accessing raw FISA data is probably the event that precipitated Rogers ordering a full compliance review, which is what we got from Rosemary Collier in the FISC court. It's revealed through that investigation and in the report from April 2017 that outside agencies, specifically the FBI Counterintelligence Division, were routinely violating procedure. So he also reported a timeline in the article. Bill Priestap was the head of the FBI Counterintelligence Division during that time. At the time of this report coming out, Bill Priestap was still at the FBI. So I'm going to get into this timeline and just listen to this. On October 15th, 2016, Carlin left the NSD. On October 20th, 2016, Admiral Rogers was briefed by the NSA compliance officer on findings from the 702 NSA compliance audit that had uncovered numerous about query violations, which came from his Senate testimony. On October 21st, 2016, Rogers shut down all about query activity. And this is why we got onto this topic in the first place, because the Carter Page FISA warrant was necessary because they no longer had access to abuse this database. So that's why we got on this topic, but it's really important and crucial to the FISA court. On October 21st, the DOJ and FBI, they seek and receive on that same day, the same day that the about queries are shut down. The DOJ and FBI seek and receive a Title I FISA probable cause order authorizing electronic surveillance on Carter Page from the FISA court. At this point in time, the FISA court is unaware of the 702 violations. So I had also found, so this is why this is all important, and this is why that summary report from January was something that I have hung my hat on. I would be absolutely gobsmacked if I was wrong on who this contractor was. Gobsmacked. So there was a text message that I found that appears in the releases of the Strzok and Page texts. It says this. And now we've switched. It's from, I think it's from Peter Strzok to Lisa Page. It is on April 30th, 2016, when the initial abuse is sort of found. And now we've switched from the Patriot Act, the 702 database, 702 queries, to a wire carrying current, which was a reference to the inability to continue to use NSA surveillance in their investigations. Then the article I wrote goes into the government contractor, Fusion GPS. Now, if you remember way back in the day, they tried to, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence issued, subpoenas for Fusion GPS's bank records, and they went to court. Nunes wanted to see if the FBI was also paying Fusion GPS in addition to Christopher Steele. And so there was a court battle. It went back and forth. I was able to find a transcript where the government is on record saying that they are wanting to look at these bank records, not just for how much money Fusion GPS paid Christopher Steele, but for information that they were actually, Fusion GPS was actually also being compensated by the FBI or the government. And they got those bank records. We have not heard since whether or not that was the case. I suspect that it was. Could I be wrong? Of course. I don't believe I am. The relationship between Fusion GPS and Nelly Orr was something that I spoke at length about with Tom Fitton on the panel. And he went into a good bit of detail. But the fact that Nelly Orr is a Fusion GPS contractor who also worked for the CIA, let's not forget, and then was married to Bruce Orr, who was Christopher Steele's handler, who inserted himself when you become a part of the evidence. He inserted himself into the case timeline. Chain of custody. That's what it is. He inserted himself into chain of custody by taking information and pushing it along, which is something that a seasoned FBI or DOJ employee would never do. You know that the freakout was happening because at the time they were trying to say that he was some low-level guy at the FBI, at the DOJ. Not true at all. I know people are clamoring for arrests here, but we're at the precipice, at the point where we're going to see them. We're going to see this report come out on Friday. The left is in freakout mode. Doug Collins speaks more about that, saying, look at how they're acting, because a lot of them are flailing around. We had clips that we played last week of Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan, I believe, talking about the seriousness of this and what it all means. This impeachment nonsense is coming up right now because this stuff is about to come out. They're announcing the investigation that's ongoing with Barr and Durham at this time to try and taint Barr and get him to recuse and do all the stuff they were doing. We are quite literally witnessing the end of the deep state's ability to hide from the crimes they committed in 2016. And if there's anything that has come out from this weekend and talking to some of these guys about the things that they experienced, it is that everybody wants to see people being held accountable for the crimes committed by this Justice Department, which was turned and weaponized on the American people. No matter what side of the aisle you stand or sit on, it doesn't matter. This is a crime against Americans. It is anti-American. It is sedition. It is treason in some cases, very specifically watching how you use the words. I almost want to go back and pull the clip of Bill Barr starting to answer why he was saying, well, it's not treason, because he is much more clearly looking at sedition here. And it is. It's flat out sedition. So I'm going to put this article that I did in the show notes today. It is an older article, again, from January of 2019. Can't believe we're already in October. Expected to have this report in June. But if you remember, it was postponed. And the reason it was postponed is because they got more information. He was actually able to interview Christopher Steele. When he interviewed Christopher Steele, he had to turn back around and come back and interview all the people at the DOJ that had lied to him about something that Christopher Steele had said. Do me a favor. Also, when you're sitting, just a couple tips for those of you who are going to take this on and read this amazing report that's coming. What I've learned from the several reports that Horowitz has produced so far is that attention to detail is really important. They give us information in these reports that most people will not pick up on. They will not pick up on it. In the case of the MYE report, for example, people went right to the last pages of the conclusions and cherry picked what they wanted out of there and said it was a nothing burger. Nothing could have been further from the truth. The mid-year exam report on Hillary Clinton's email investigation was the very first glimmer we had from an official government organization that there was bias on behalf of the FBI, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, etc. And that was very clearly stated, even though the government or the Democrats attempted to cover that up and say that it was a nothing and say that there was nothing wrong and nothing happened. That's not the case at all. Just like the Fast and Furious investigation, just like all the other scandals the left has been involved in, they sugarcoat over this stuff and they don't pay attention. So my recommendation to you, and this is what I'll be doing, take it for what it's worth, is to start from the beginning, read every sentence all the way through. Do not skip to the conclusions page. I know that I am very, very comfortable saying that the conclusions page here is going to be chock full of horrible conclusions for the bad guys. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm very interested to see what happens with Rod Rosenstein. I have been waiting for this report to come out to be able to understand his role in this. Again, I differ with my amazing colleague Brian on whether or not this is a good guy Rosenstein or a bad guy Rosenstein. I just cannot wrap my head around the good guy role. I just can't do it. I don't understand. The only thing that has been stopping me from going down that road is what Rod Rosenstein said to The only thing that's been stopping me from making a decision, I should say, is what Rod Rosenstein said to Matt Gaetz about him signing the FISA renewal. That's the only thing. And again, I'm getting, you know, when I do this stuff alone, there's no grounding. I'm all over the place, but I have a lot to say because I've been off this microphone for way too long. So don't skip to the conclusions page. I'm actually pondering doing kind of like a marathon reading of this. It might be boring for you folks, but I was thinking, what if I came up here in my jammies and sat in front of my computer and just streamed live my screen as I read through and did the research and stuff to figure some stuff out in this FISA report. And, you know, whoever wanted to watch it could. I'm definitely and certainly not going to be talking the entire time. But I thought maybe, because a lot of people asked me to do it, and I did it with the omnibus bill. So I'm like, maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Also, I'm going to check out real quick and see before we go today if there's anything new. Here we go. The full video's up. Yeah, he was having upload problems. No worries. Okay, so the full video's up on YouTube, of course, an hour too late. Let me do something here. 20 minutes long. I can't watch the whole thing. We'll touch on this more on Wednesday. But just to give you again a recap, the FISA report is supposedly coming out Friday. Do yourselves a favor. Read through the entire thing. I hope I did an okay, you know, job of explaining this summary report and its importance and why getting there is such an important thing and what it has to do with the Carter Page FISA warrant, etc. And I will post that article in the show notes below. I'm going to give my voice a rest for a few minutes, sending well wishes to Frank. You guys have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with the beans flying solo. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, typically at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you, Frank and I, back on Wednesday. Thanks for being here.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.